All right. I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts here, and then we're going to look at this, and then we're going to look at the Lord of the harvest. We're going to look at the harvest. There's some things that we have to remind ourselves of, and the only way we can do that is through repetition. First of all, the Bible is self-evident. The Bible is axiomatic. The Bible explains itself. It doesn't need any explanation. It doesn't need outside sources to tell you what the Bible says. If you compare Scripture with Scripture, it will define itself. That's how this book right here is completely all its own. Nothing else has to be given to it in order for humanity to understand it. That's how God made it. He created it in that manner. So it's undeniable. It explains itself. So when you see something in the Bible that is confusing to you, you run it through the Scriptures. You compare Scripture with Scripture. You look up the same words and see how the Bible defines itself. Because once you allow outside resources, I'm not saying they're not usable. They are usable, but they are not exclusive. Because, you know, men can have understanding outside of Scripture to help shed light on Scripture. I'm not saying throw all your books away and don't listen to, you know, Chuck Swindoll anymore on the radio or whatever. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is the Bible is the first resource to you, not the second or the third, of any subject concerning your spiritual life. It's the Word of God first and foremost. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Right. Now, why are we going to go over this again? I just want to tell you.
Because we're dumb.
No. Not everyone wakes up at the same time. Okay? I was up at 3:30 this morning. Karen was not up. She had just come to bed, you know. You know, when I hear her start to let me know she's asleep, you understand what I'm saying. She lets me know she's asleep. That's when I kind of wake up, because it was completely quiet. Now it's not as quiet. And then I'm like, I guess it's time for me to get up. You know. Oh, okay. So anyway, so spiritually speaking, though, not everyone wakes up at the same time. And it's my job as a teacher of the truth in right division to be the alarm clock that is constantly ringing. That's my responsibility, folks. Just constantly ring and keep ringing. And then, as many of you have said, you know, you've gone over this many times, but this is the time that I really got it. You know, and that's what's important. We had a couple friends from Charlotte that spent Friday night with us, and his brothers were in the youth department where I was the youth pastor way back in the 70s. He was in elementary school. And later on in life, he went off to Bible college, and then he was a youth pastor in the same circles that we ran in, the same circles, and then he became a pastor. And in 1995, and a team of ours, six or eight people, went to their church, and we laid out the principles of discipleship for their church. And it totally changed his life, like it did me. Totally. Not just go to church, not just, you know, not just do the Bible studies and stuff, but literally have a life that you can share life with. I mean, that's the big thing. Because of the judgment seat of Christ, it's all about how you obeyed the Lord Jesus Christ in your mission in this world. And Everybody in here has a mission. Not just professionals have a mission. All of us have a mission that we are accountable for. And how you obey the Word of God and the attitude with which you obey the Word of God is the reward that you're going to receive. And, you know, Mark was telling me, he said, I'm going to tell you what changed my whole life. You were there, we were sitting there, you know, and we were talking, and you asked me what the theme of the Bible was. You asked me what the theme of the Bible was, and of course he gave you the Bible College answer. You know, well, you know, the theme of the Bible is about the Lord Jesus Christ going to Calvary and dying for our sins, and you know, and all of that, and I looked, and I he said, you looked at me and said, no, that's not it. He said, you told me that the Bible was about a king and a kingdom, and it blew me away. It's about a king and a kingdom, and all of the Bible moves us to that kingdom. It moves us there. And we are on a collision course with the kingdom coming. I mean, literally. The whole world is on a collision course. And we're going to look at these harvests today and these different phases of the harvest. Because in the tribulation, there's only one harvest of the gleanings. But there are several phases of that harvest that are going to be going on during the tribulation. And we want to look at that. But we have to realize that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ is the linchpin moment in history. I mean, his life used to divide history. It doesn't anymore. You notice that?
Yeah.
It's the CE and the BCE. You know, it's not BC and AD anymore. It's BC and BCE. And you say, well, what is, I mean, CE and the BCE. How do you notice that? It's been taken away. You know, BC was before Christ. A.D. is Anno Domini, that's after Christ. You know, after the birth of Christ, the time changed. But now it's before the common era and the common era. We live in the common era. It's totally secularized our calendar now. You know, so we don't have that anymore. Because they want to expunge everything of Christ and of God out of society. They want to take it all out. And so Mark, you know, he told me, he said, man, it just blew me away. It made me rethink how I look at the Bible. So we're looking. Hello, Bruce. Did you notice Dave's shoes? Well, I was like, man, those are nice shoes. And Dave looked at me, huh? Well, it doesn't matter. They're nice looking. From one man to another, those are nice looking shoes. And Dave looked at me and said, they're comfortable. And I was like, see, women don't buy shoes by and large because they're comfortable. It's because they're stylish. You know? Yeah, so yeah. So anyway, that was just funny how he just looked at it and said, they're comfortable. That's how I buy my shoes. I buy them for comfort. Alright. Here we go. Here's the whole issue. Here's your Bible. And this is your Bible without understanding the mystery, without seeing the mystery, without you know, Paul's epistles. This is your Bible. So much of our 13 of our New Testament books shorten your Bible. But what I want you to understand as we open this and look at it, based upon the Lord of the Harvest, which we looked at last week, pray ye the Lord of the Harvest, they'll send forth laborers into his harvest, you know, because, you know, the fields are white unto harvest and the laborers are few. And so then the very next chapter, chapter 10 of Matthew, chapter 6 of Mark, chapter 9 of Luke, chapter 10 of Luke. I'm going to turn this back around as soon as we get this done. But you have to realize that he sent forth laborers into his harvest. And that harvest was specific to this, to where we are here on this. Way over here, in eternity past, God laid out the kingdom of God, which is eternal. It goes from eternity past to eternity future, all the way over here on this side of the great white throne judgment, which is eternity future. This is the ages to come issue, all the way over here. This is the kingdom of God. It goes all through history. The kingdom of heaven is the earthly phase of God's plan for man. Now, when Adam, we can go back to Lucifer because God gave him authority over the kingdom of heaven before Adam was created. It's Ezekiel 28, it's Isaiah 14, explains it all. Lucifer was in charge. He was the one that God gave that authority over the earth. And of course, that's why he said, I will what? Ascend. I will ascend. I will ascend. We saw that last week, Isaiah 14. Ascend, ascend, ascend. Where is he ascending from? He's ascending from the earth, where God gave him responsibility to literally watch over God's creation, original creation. And many of you, your heads are already spinning. Of course, he fell. I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. You know, that's what Jesus said in Luke 10, verse 19, I think. I saw Satan fall. You know, when they were asking, how do we have power over demons? How can we do these things? Well, because he was kicked out. He was kicked out. You know, if you ascend, then you fall. You know, I mean, he had to fall from somewhere. You know. So what happened was, is God created Adam. Adam's now in perfect union with God. Perfect created being, perfect fellowship with God. He was responsible, Genesis 2, he was responsible for the world, was he not? He was responsible to take care of the world, but he was also in perfect fellowship with God. So the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven were together on earth in Adam. They were there. But something happened. Now, when God said, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day that you eat of this tree, you will surely die. Right. You will surely die. Adam lived 930 years physically in this world. So he did not die physically that day. And God is not a liar. So how did Adam die? He died spiritually. The kingdom of God was removed from Adam. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So right here is where the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, were both in sync on earth, and Adam failed in that, and the kingdom of God was removed, and it never came back until it was offered in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you read Matthew, and it's the Jewish gospel to the Jews, right? And the Jewish apostles say, Jesus told them in Matthew 10, you go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, no one else, and you preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? this kingdom. Preach this kingdom to them. But when you read Mark and Luke and John, they say kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. Because the kingdom of heaven, which is this, is going to operate within the structure of the kingdom of God when the Lord Jesus Christ is on planet Earth in the kingdom. It's coming down and will be in operation. The kingdom of God is at hand. That meant that it was near. It didn't mean that it was there. You understand what I'm saying? It's available if you believe. So, kingdom of God disappears from the earth. Now it's purely physical. Take care of this world. Obey these things. Do these things all the way. Moses, David, prophets. It was all about the kingdom, a physical kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ comes in his teaching. He is talking about this kingdom over here, the gospel of the kingdom. We'll look at that. Matthew 24. You know, I think it's verse 13, 14, and 15 are probably three of the most important verses for you and I to make sure that we don't hijack into the New Testament church. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Do you have to endure to the end to be saved?
No,
no you don't. That's works. I was watching this stuff, and you know, I know that there are folks in here that are you have a long history of Protestantism in your family, or you have a long history of Catholicism in your family, and I've watched these videos of these Catholic priests. I watched them explain salvation from a Catholic perspective, you know, and I watch, you know, all these things, and you know. A Catholic is not saved unless they participate and stay faithful to the seven sacraments till they're dead. I mean, and they can go from venial sins to mortal sins, and all of these things can happen to them. You can be faithful for your life, and then all of a sudden things go awry, and you don't go to confession, and you don't take the Eucharist, and you don't do these things, and then all of a sudden you're out. And you got to go to purgatory, which doesn't exist, you know. But that's your hope to get back. The whole issue of that, and the same is true. And I don't want to offend anybody. Maybe I do, but I don't. Lordship salvation is no different. Lordship salvation is no different than what Catholics believe, because lordship salvation is. You have to prove for the rest of your life that you are saved based upon your works. And if you ever walk away from your works, then you weren't even saved. And that's a dangerous prospect to be giving to people. It's frightening. People serve out of fear. Does God want you to serve Him out of fear? He has not given us what? The spirit of fear. He hasn't given us that. He has given us love and power and a sound mind. How about that? You know where you get a sound mind from? That book. You don't get it outside that book. You get confusion outside that book. And so it's so important for us to understand this harvest that they're moving toward. It's the harvest that is taking them to the kingdom. Now I'm going to open this because Jesus on earth in his ministry knew that he was going to be gone for a while, right? He had to be gone. Prophecy had to be fulfilled. He wasn't going to resurrect and then bring the kingdom. That showed the ignorance of the disciples in Acts 1. Are you now going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Isn't that what they asked him? It's not for you to know. You have to be faithful. You need to obey. obey my commands, and then the kingdom will come at the time it's supposed to come. Now, in Matthew 24, as well as in Mark, and I think even in Luke, Jesus himself said, no man, nobody knows, not even the angels in heaven, they don't know when this is going to take place. This is what he was talking about. He was not talking about this. Why was he not talking about this when he was over here? I'm sorry, what? Because it's a mystery. That's right. He was not talking about this on this side of the cross. Because it was the hidden wisdom of God that God kept within himself to protect his plan. And his plan was to offer salvation to the likes of you and me without having to become Jews. That's what it was all about. Salvation is of the Jew. Who said that? Jesus said salvation was of the Jews. But he wasn't talking about this over here. He was talking about this over here. Because this was hidden. The hidden wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 2. Just read it. And allow the Holy Spirit to just reveal those things to you. Because when you start looking at these harvests, come on. When you start looking at these harvests that Jesus is talking about and that John talks about in the book of Revelation, these harvests are harvests that don't have anything to do with the dispensation of grace. Because we're in the midst of a harvest, are we not? We have a 2,000-year-long harvest that is going on called the dispensation of the grace of God, where people are coming to Christ, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, his finished work on Calvary, paying for our sins, taking them all to hell and leaving hell pure, white, and ready to lead this world. All of your sins went there. All of them. Right, Dick?
Yes, sir.
They all went there. Even those mean, nasty things that you say occasionally. they all went to hell too. You know, it's so wonderful to experience the grace of God, isn't it? It's so great, you know, because when things get iffy, and your flesh takes over for a moment or a month, you know, you can rest knowing that that too is under the blood. His blood was shed once for all. Not continually. He was shed once for all. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He took upon us, took upon himself all trespasses. I mean, we have to continually remind ourselves of that. And, you know, Paul, I think it was in Acts 26, he's talking to Agrippa. And he was giving his testimony. He was talking about how men, let me just look at it real quick in here. Because it's important for us to understand. You have to understand the foundation truth in order to understand. You take clear scripture to define unclear scripture. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Something that's clear, we use that to teach, shed light on unclear things. Things that people could take out of context. All right. Here, let me look at verse 15 of Acts 26. All right. And I said, who art thou, Lord? Now, this is Paul He's giving his testimony, his story to Agrippa. Well, you know, why are the Jews trying to kill you who are a Jew? Why are they trying to kill you? Because a whole new thing occurred through Paul. Whole new ballgame. If you can't see the dispensation changes, you know, that the book of Acts is that great book of transition that starts out fully holy Jewish and it turns out fully holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy Gentile by the end of the book. Because the whole focus changes from Israel-centric to the world-centric. I mean, that's what you always have to keep in mind. So here's Paul. He's giving his testimony to Agrippa. Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise, stand upon thy feet. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Hello? This is the Lord telling Paul. I have appeared to you for this purpose. All right. To make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee. All the revelation that Paul received, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and revealed them to him. He shared them with him person to person. You read Galatians 1, Galatians 2. Paul didn't go up, run up to Jerusalem and sit at Peter's feet or James's feet. He didn't do that. He didn't. The Lord did not want him to pollute this new vein of teaching that is going to bring the world to him. So don't do that. Don't go there. Don't compare notes. This is brand new. This is a revelation from me. All right. Delivering thee from the people. Who are the people? Jews, that's right. Because, and from the Gentiles. You only got two groups of people. So, Paul says, Jesus came to deliver me from the people and from the Gentiles. So we know that he's talking about the Jews. All right. Unto whom now I send thee. This should clear up who our apostle is. It's Paul. He's our apostle. It doesn't diminish any of the work, anything that the other apostles did, because they were living in obedience to Christ. They were doing exactly what he instructed them to do. So, you know, all Scripture is given. Yes, by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine first. And it's profitable for reproof second. And it's profitable for correction third. And it's profitable for instruction in righteousness last. You get the doctrine right, and you examine yourself and reprove yourself through the Scripture and allow the washing of water by the Word to fix who you are in this world. You know, God's already fixed who you are in heaven. Amen? 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 He's already fixed that. The whole purpose of your life, your journey now, is to become like Christ. That's the whole journey that you're to have in Scripture. Get that purification process. Putting off the old man with his deeds. It didn't happen at salvation. It happens through sanctification. It takes time. You don't throw clothes in the washer and turn it on, and as soon as it turns on, you just take them out. You have to let the cycle run. Right? You have to let the cycle run for those clothes to come out clean. And the cycle of your life is till you die. You're in that cycle, in that washing machine, till you die or till Jesus comes today. Amen? Amen. That's what it is. You're in a constant washing machine in your Christian life. All right. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee. Now look, he's talking about the Gentile world. What is Paul's responsibility? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Right? Ephesians 2, we all came out of his camp. Don't think for a minute just because you're a nice person you didn't come out of Satan's camp. Because you did. And you hath he quickened who were
dead
in trespasses and sins. Right. Wow. Where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Okay, let's go on. Paul's ministry was to the entire Gentile world. You got 12 for this little country. This little group of people, the Jews. 12. And they say, okay, Paul, you take the rest. Isn't that what happened? Galatians 2, they shook hands. We're going to go to Israel. You go to the rest of the world. Have at it. Have fun. And you know, and then they didn't like it. Right? Then all of a sudden these Judaizers from Jerusalem show up following him. And every church he established, they went in and tried to pollute the truth. And that's what Galatians is all about, that Justin is preaching on. You know, how is it that you are so soon removed from the truth? All right, let's go on. Turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Here it is, pay attention, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, I'm just going to tell you, Festus, Agrippa, all these royalty who had audience with Paul, none of them got saved. Because they counted a cost, and to turn to Christ meant death to them, and they did not want to cross that bridge. In the first century, in the Roman world, you would give up everything to become a Christian. But what I want you to understand is when it says that they may receive forgiveness, forgiveness is already there and forgiveness is already given. It's like it is a gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that forgiveness is already there. Through Calvary, the forgiveness of the entire world is there. And for the Gentile world to say, I accept the forgiveness of God. Amen. I accept God's forgiveness, and I believe that Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. Boom. You're saved. Right? Or as they say down in Georgia, you're born again. You're born like Paul. He was born as one out of due time. Born. Alright. So, Jesus knew the gospel of the kingdom, the harvest. All of these things were mounting. He's preaching this to them, sending them to preach the same. And after the cross, they're still preaching the same. Read Acts 2, read Acts 3. It's the same. Read Acts 15. Read what they say. Acts 10, 11. You know, when Peter is giving his testimony about what happened. It's still the same message of this kingdom over here. But then something happens. And so what happens is this brief period of time, which we know was going to be minimum 7 years, right? Daniel 70th week, 7 years. So it's minimum from the time that Jesus left this planet, it was going to be a minimum of 7 years before he was allowed to come back and establish the kingdom. What happened was, Israel, as a nation, rejected the message of the apostles. They rejected it. A lot of people got saved, did they not? Many were added to that Jerusalem church. Many, many, many. And then when Stephen was stoned to death, right here, he's a nice looking guy, before he gets pounded to death by stones. When Stephen was stoned to death, it was strike one, strike two, strike three. Romans 11 occurs. This is the Romans 11 slide. You know, like chutes and ladders. That old game was played with your kids. They're climbing, down to the bottom. You got to start over. I hated that game, playing it with my children. Because I'd always get the wrong number. And then I had to go back. Israel falls. They fall from grace of what they were supposed to do. You know, that was it. Their mission was now in time out. And so, all of a sudden now, we got 2,000 years that have been tacked on to the kingdom message. 2,000 years. And this is us, the body of Christ. Now, I want to get rid of that so that you just see this and realize that when he talks about the Lord of the harvest, he's talking about harvesting souls for the kingdom's sake. Harvesting here. And there's a lot of harvesting that's going to go on. Somebody, I think somebody put, why did they do that? Why did they? David, did you do that? Dave Bolts, did you put the brake on that?
Nope. If I did, I wouldn't tell you anyway.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you. He
I wasn't up there today.
He may be quiet, but he's a sneak. He's tricksy. Yeah. All right. So, we went through these laborers right here. This is before the cross. This is after the rapture. These harvesters, these laborers. This is a perfect weekend for that because it's apple harvest time, you know? Apple festival. People going and harvesting apples. I prefer that others harvest my apples. And then I just buy them. You know. I don't want to go to the orchard myself. Now, the harvest is explained here that we talked about last week. So we got that, and we got this, and we talked about the 144,000, right? Talked about them. And they are sealed. If you read Mark 16:15-16, and it talks about these signs are going to follow them. Let's look at it. Let's go to Mark. Mark 16. Some of your Bibles may not have Mark 16:16 because new versions stop at, I think, verse 8. Because they found some quote-unquote older manuscripts that didn't have verses 9 and following, so they just don't put it in their Bibles. Or you may have a note that says that some manuscripts don't have these, and be careful of all of that. Because let me tell you, who wants to destroy your Bible? The devil. He wants to destroy your Bible, and he wants to destroy your trust in the Bible. All right, verse 15. Verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11, because somebody hung himself. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief. Isn't that funny? I mean, here, he's resurrected from the dead, He's appeared to them, and he just gives them the what for their unbelief. Because what they did not believe was the resurrection, right? He told them he was going to be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Were they all hanging out at the tomb waiting for that event? No, they weren't. None of them were. None. N-O-N-E. None. The women came to finish the embalming process on the first day of the week. They didn't come looking for him. Nobody did. Is that crazy? I mean, literally, for us, 2,000 years later, it's hard to understand that because we have the wonderful opportunity to have hindsight, right? And hindsight is always 20/20, right? All right, so here he is. After he appeared to the 11, they said, "Meat upbraided them for their unbelief, the hardness of heart." Hardness of heart. Wow. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, which was the women. They came and they told him. Even Peter and John, you know, hey, wake up. All right, verse 15. He said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized," now this gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Did you get that?
Yeah.
It's the gospel of the kingdom. It was not our gospel. Okay? Everybody see that? I have to pause and let that soak in. Because he's still... Oh, I turned it around. He's still expecting what? To return, right?
Soon.
He's still expecting, right, soon. He's still expecting to return. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But the key in all of it is not your baptism. Even with John the Baptist, the key was not in the baptism. The key was in believing. Isn't that what it says? But if you don't believe, you're damned. You're totally condemned if you don't believe. I mean, here's John in Matthew 3, in Matthew 4, and he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he's talking about the one who's coming after him, whose shoe latches, he's unworthy to even unloose, and all of that stuff. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he's going to baptize you, wicked, with fire. We don't get the fire, amen. I don't get the fire. I get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit resides within me. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm baptized with the Holy Spirit. Those people that reject, those people that don't believe, they get the fire.
They burn.
They burn, that's right. That's right, Dan. Listen to that. 90-plus-year-old. She knows what she's talking about. All right. Verse 17. Pay attention here. These signs. Okay. Hello? Here we go. Who looks for signs? Yeah. And these signs are going to follow those who are in the harvest before I come. What is it? Remember, they're sealed. We saw that. They're sealed. Verse 17. In my name they shall cast out devils. You know, this is the stuff you see on TV today. Okay? Because they hijacked this. They shall speak with new tongues. It's just new to them. You understand what I'm saying? It's new to them. I tried to learn Russian when we went to Russia, and I learned phrases just enough to get me in trouble. You know, menu, пожалуйста. Yeah, I would like a menu, please. You know, just simple things. You know, and so anyway, these 144,000 are going to preach the gospel in all the world, Matthew 24, verse 14. I quoted verse 13 to you. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, that takes you to the end of the tribulation, takes you to the end of your life in the tribulation, either or, you endure to the end. And at the end of the tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ sits on His throne, and He has the entire remnant of the world marched before Him. Does He not? And He divides the sheep from the goats. Yeah, those on His right hand, those on His left hand. You know, you chose wisely. You know, right down the middle here. You know, you're fence straddlers. And so, He divides them out and He judges them. Those that endured to the end, these my brethren, some of the Jews, these my brethren, you Gentiles protected my brethren. You fed me when I was hungry. Gave me water when I was thirsty. You gave me clothes when I was naked. All those things. When I was in prison, you visited me. All those things. You did that for the least of these, my brethren. You get to go in. And the goats, they go to the lake of fire. Because this is their judgment. They don't get judged by the Lord of glory at the end of the tribulation. And they get called back up to the great white throne judgment and get judged again. They already got their judgment. There's nothing more that needs to be said to them or done to them. They are out. They're done. You know, the law of double jeopardy, isn't that what it's called? You can't be charged with the same crime twice. You know, I mean, can you get any worse? Can you punish me anymore? You know, everlasting fire. That seems to be like forever. All right. Verse 18. They're going to speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Our wonderful brethren in West Virginia and some parts of Kentucky, you know, Harlan, Kentucky, and places like that. They do snake handling. Yeah. Now, we know that Paul, we know what happened to Paul, right? He picked up a bundle of sticks to put in the fire on Malta. And a serpent, an asp, or whatever, came out and bit him on the hand. And everybody's like,
"Keep going."
It's that three-step rule, isn't it? Yeah. One, two, and he did it. And then the first thing they wanted to do was what?
Worship
him. They wanted to worship him as a god. But in the tribulation, these men, these 144,000 virgin men, Jews, 12,000 from every tribe, they are going to be completely immune to all of that until their mission is finished. When their mission is finished, the beast is going to make war with them, Revelation 13 and 14. He's going to make war with them and kill them. He's going to be trying to kill them all along. But they can't, they're protected. They're protected. Drink any deadly thing. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. Wow. I mean, these are the things that, the miracles that are going to be going on that is going to bring people to the truth in the tribulation. Now, we know that, of course, you know, after the cross, let you go this way, after the cross, miracles did happen, right?
Yeah.
They did happen. Absolutely. On both sides, they happened. Paul healed people. Paul brought people back from the dead. Did he not? Yes, he did. But all that stuff waned the further you got into the book of Acts, and then everything disappeared. Because that wasn't the focus anymore. The Jews require, they require a sign. They require it. all the way back from Exodus 3 and 4. They require signs because the Lord said, I'm going to give them signs so that they know that I am the truth. You know. All right. So this harvest is now what we're going to discuss next Sunday. And now that we've got the background, we understand the harvest. But you have to understand, when we look at Matthew 13, when we look at the parable of the sower and all of that stuff, you have to keep in mind that when Jesus said it, the time frame was like this big. But because of Paul and the gospel of the grace of God, now it's this big. The parable of the sower is working through not just a handful of years, but centuries. The parable of the sower is working to bring people to the truth of the cross. Amen? And so we're going to look at that next week. I promise. I promise. I'm just required to keep ringing that bell. You know, I'm the alarm. Yes, next Sunday, come out of the auditorium on the side of the organ and go straight up the stairs to the top. There's 25 steps. I walked it. I counted them. 25
one
steps.
Way or both ways?
It's one way up, one way down. It's 50. Yeah. And so we will enter. We will enter the class at the top of the stairs, and the class that's in there will exit the far door. So there should not be any congestion.
Yeah, right. We can't have
apart from people. Oh, we're just going to bulldoze them. You know, we're going to boat race them.
Are they using our table?
Yes.
Are they going to use our table?
Yeah, because Ed's moving his class in because he comes and gets this chart every Sunday. So now it's just going to be in the class so that he'll just teach and then won't have to race about except in his teaching and get out, you know.
Okay,
10:15, class is over. We move in. Yeah. All right. So next Sunday, we're up there. Unless we're all the way up. This week. Amen? Yes. Do what?
Let's go all the way.
All right. I love you guys. I really do. I'm so grateful for you. I'm grateful that when I'm up here and I'm teaching, I see in your faces an interest of wanting to know what saith the Lord, you know, what the scriptures say. And I miss a lot, but I try and hit, you know, I'm like a baseball player. 3 out of 10 gets me in the Hall of Fame. So I can hit have seven strikeouts and 3 hits. And, you know, as long as you're catching on to those 3 hits, then we're moving forward. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I'm grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful that your provision to us of the truth is complete. It's complete, and I'm so grateful for that. And Lord, I'm grateful that Patrick started feeling better. And I just pray that your grace upon him and Phyllis as they edit our Sunday school videos and stuff like that, that you would just keep them safe and protect them. And Lord, we just thank you again for just the opportunity we have to meet here and study your word. In Jesus' name, amen.